You're listening to Marco Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
With the time of the morning, we'll be joined by very own Adam Kanda. Adam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine? A beautiful morning, Adam.
Wa alaikum salam, Shafar. Just lovely weather on the Durban beach. And the sun has just come up. The forecast was for strong southwesterly winds, but it seems to have settled quite quickly. So the ocean is looking really good. If I had known it was going to be so flat, I probably would have been out fishing this morning.
Yes, Adam, as I look at many issues that come through, and before you come through that, my phone was grabbed on my screen. There's a lot of messages here, and it says, Shafat, Assalamu alaikum, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and so far. So, he said, I really enjoyed the segment, and I'm looking forward to that. I heard a lot about the river prawns. I want to know, can I chow the river prawns, and is it cheaper than the prawns from LM? Adam, how do you respond to Asif there?
Yes, Shafat, there are freshwater prawns that's cultivated, and as long as you buy it from a reputable source, you buy it, you know, from a recognized fish shop, because as you know, in our country, we're having a lot of issues with the waste disposal and sewage outflows of pumps not working and raw sewage, you know, flowing out into overflowing and flowing into rivers, etc. So you don't want to buy freshwater prawns, you know, from a dubious source. So make sure you buy from a reputable seafood dealer. You do get freshwater prawns, which is a river prawn, and you get saltwater prawns. A lot of the prawns that we consume, Shafat, is imported from India, places like India and Vietnam, and they've been, you know, tested properly and imported under strict regulations for food for human consumption. So as long as you're buying a brand name or from a reputable dealer, you're fairly safe, Shabbat.
Absolutely, and when you look at all these different types of you know, people coming to you and selling fish to you and other things, it is better for us to go to a reputable you know, outlet, that as I said, so you can be you know what, safeguarded from being from getting food poisoning and so forth. But Ghafoor says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Shafaz. I've been up since 4 o'clock and been looking forward to your show. I would also appreciate if Adam Kanda can talk about Grant Gully, which has been in the headlines recently. And Grant Gully is now known as a sewage dump. Some angles, you know, with the bottle having a jaw there. Please, Adam, how do you address this issue? Because as for us fishermen who do not imbibe, we cannot go to these smelly places. Please, Adam, address the issues for us brothers.
Yes, Shafat, fishing in the harbour has been a very touchy issue. I remember growing up as a little youngster, learning to fish from the age of 3 or 4, sitting at the wharf with my dad and my brothers and having a throw. And there we could virtually fish from any part of the harbour. Our favourite spots was N-Shed and R-Shed. You know, each of these areas have unique formations like this. One spot that had a tunnel below the wharf, and we used to catch beautiful rock out there. But since, say, within the last 20 years or so, there's been lots of restrictions imposed in the harbour, and everything has been closed down. A lot of fishermen made protests and a lot of noise about it, and Transnet has opened up certain areas, but with very strong restrictions. They've issued a free permit to a number of anglers, but that has been very limited as well. A lot of anglers are asking, where can they get Transnet permits? When are they issuing? And they're not issuing anymore at the moment. And anglers are totally at their mercy. So at the moment, Grant Gully has been open. There was a little bit of fanfare made on social media that this area is open to Transnet permit holders. But this area was open initially when they issued that Transnet permit. It just wasn't mentioned clearly on that card that they issue you. It's just recently that they put up a sign there that fishing is permitted with a normal fishing license as well as the Transnet permit.
You know, Adam, you know, one may have thought that public spaces, why do you need permits to, I mean, you look at the seashore, it's a public space, but they're restricting you, they're asking for permits, and, you know, you look at this country, so compromised, our borders are porous, we have so many foreigners coming in, or illegal immigrants coming here, literally running amok, but law-abiding citizens are, you know, their lives are made so unbearable. They governed to perhaps even you know, permit restrictions and all this. They governed to such an extent that they, in their own country, they can't enjoy the, you know, the boons of the country. What's your thought, Adam?
Yes, Shafad. Since the 9/11 event in America, America has put a lot of pressure on all the ports around the world to tighten up security. And our local fishermen are feeling the brunt of that, Shafa'at. So whereas we had perfect freedom of movement in the harbor to park where we wish and fish where we wish at all hours, day or night, since that time, everything's closed up. And this is not only the Durban Harbor, Shafa'at. This is throughout the world. And this is the power that America has to, you know, to create restrictions that affect millions of people. And I think it's a very sad state for the public and for fishing enthusiasts to actually be restricted from the Durban Harbour, which really is, you know, it could be a real big tourist attraction, and it's a fantastic opportunity for even our locals to enjoy entertainment, which doesn't cost too much as long as you keep it out with your basic fishing gear. All it costs is some baits when you're going fishing, and you can even put some food on the table when you're fishing the Durban Harbour, Shafa'at.
You make a lot of sense, Adam, for your insight. I know you're an all-rounder, took your policy. You only brought in 9/11 as a source of reference. Definitely it has changed the paradigm of our lives, and it has brought in the draconian law and the one police state that they govern, and They restrict us on many levels. And, you know, as we move on, let's talk about, you know, discrimination. Is discrimination felt in the fishing circles? You know, have South Africans really evolved? We said we are going to be the rainbow nation. Do you feel that are we one, or we still have this discrimination? This is our spot, and that's your spot. And, you know, this is here, I can be here, but I don't want to see you there. How's it going, Adam? Because I know in your case, you're truly a rainbow nation man. But generally, how are others experiencing discrimination, especially in your sport, fishing?
Yes, Shafa'at. In my personal experience, I find the sport of fishing to be a very unifying sport. When you're standing shoulder to shoulder on the beachfront with a rod in your hand, you know, you've got a whole mix of the population, and we all get along well. If you have problems, it's not a matter of race, it's a matter of a person not being polite and casting over your line, and that can happen with anyone, whether you're black, white, or Indian. So it's not really to do with race. And you get people from all walks of life and all levels of fishing. You know, you'd get, whether it's Indian, white, or black, you'd get a beginner coming to the beach and fishing with more experienced anglers, and they don't really know the rules of etiquette of how to cast and where to cast. For example, if people are fishing for shad with bait, they'd cast out and the sinker will settle down onto a spot. And another angler will come with a spoon and cast a spoon over all the lines and retrieve it and upset, you know, their lines. So it's not a matter of race or prejudice. It's just a matter of understanding the sport and having common sense. If you don't know what to do, ask for advice from more experienced angler, Shafa'at.
Adam, I'm sure you went to a function yesterday. I'm sure you had kalya or whatever, have a lovely naan biryani. Did you, Adam?
You hit the nail on the head, so to speak. It was a prepared meal, but it was a very sad occasion. It was actually a funeral, Shafa'at. I attended a funeral last night, and they had biryani and kheer. So it was a very close cousin of mine. We, you know, shared a lot of passion together, and unfortunately, he met his demise yesterday. But he passed away celebrating life, he was away on a fishing trip with very close friends, and Allah knows best. None of us know our timing. So, in a way, Shafaat, he was really blessed. He had a quick death and was able to really celebrate life with his friends on this specific fishing trip. But unfortunately, passed away yesterday, Shafaat.
Yeah, you know, in Narayana, right now, in the Raji, shall we return there? Allah will grant Jannah for this. Was he the same Abdi, who was...
Hashim Jamal.
Oh, okay. Hashim Jamal.
Yes, that's right. He's a very, very close friend of Butch as well.
Wow, Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji. You know how close I knew him, Adam? We were neighbors, and he just simply gave my message the other day. Allahu Akbar. So Hashim and I went down the dunya. Very close, as you said, he must be with Butch all the time, very close to you. And I know your stories. You also be together on the yacht, and Allah, I'm glad you shared that message with us. It's such a. How old was Hashim?
He was about 72, Shafaat.
So Hash battered around Allah Akbar, Allah to discover with me. What a beautiful, wonderful gentleman. A man full of smiles. And he's always reminded me, he's always telling me, you know, Shafaat, your mother was such a wonderful lady. We are neighbors. We lived together in Dominic Flats. I must have been about 12 years old. So I got to know him from that age. And he always embraced and celebrated us on this platform. So, you know, condolences to our family members. It's a sad morning. We hear that for me, like it's a lump in my throat. Well, I'm looking at messages coming through here, Adam, and this one says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Shafaat, Adam Kamda. Let's be honest, in South Africa, there's no need for a fishing permit. You just give cold drink money. That's not that easy, Adam.
No, Shafaat, you know, I'm totally against bribing and corruption. So even if people want to fish on the North Pier, which is also supposedly open with the Transnet permit, people who don't have the permit often say, you know what, give the guard any rein and you can fish as long as you want. But I'd rather these rules be discussed and debated and changed for the better of the public, give everyone free access. I don't know if you could remember previously, Shafaat, where you could take a lovely stroll down to the end of North Pier. You could watch the ships coming and going. There were stalls where people would sell things like how they sell at Blue Lagoon, fried mealies and spicy pineapples. And, you know, you could go as a family, lay out a blanket, take a picnic basket, and just enjoy watching the sun go down and watching the chips come and go and listen to the sounds of the seagulls and just really enjoy the sceneries of the local anglers casting the lines in the water, occasionally pulling out a silvery fish. Those days should be brought back, Shafaat. There should be free access to areas like North Pier, South Pier. I think even Bat Center has closed down. That was also... You know, people just latch on to every little opportunity that they give them. They latch on to it, and the public is actually pining for these kind of venues to be able to just relax and enjoy our surroundings. I've got news from my brother-in-law in Australia. He's recently moved to Australia, and he says there's no fishing permit whatsoever. It's free for everyone. You buy your tackle, you go out there, you enjoy yourself. And there's thousands and thousands of spots to explore. Every week he sends us messages that he's found a new beach or a new little cove or a little rocky outcrop. And he's absolutely loving it and enjoying the country. That's how it should be here in South Africa, Shafaat. We should be able to celebrate the beauty of nature and the beauty of our coastline. It's such a wonderful heritage to be able to enjoy as locals and even share with tourists and make them an attraction and make this country a really viable destination, Shafaat.
I tell you, Adam, you know, you bring back so much of our memories. I mean, you talk about going to the terminal, going to the beachfront. That fun world that we grew up. You remember, we should call it Newton. We should go and play, drive the Dodge and all that. I mean, that has come to an end. And then, besides going to the harbor and enjoying our blue lagoons and all these other spots in Durban, who could forget botanical gardens, the Japanese gardens, the picnics that we used to have at places like that? All that because of, I think, it's quite unsafe and criminality and perhaps you know, the demographics of Durban has changed, which has, you know, really spoiled a beautiful place. I mean, the fun in the sun is no more there, Adam.
Well, Shafat, I can't understand why, you know, if you have something that is working so well, like Fun World, to just shut it down. I saw an article yesterday, or initially when I saw news that it's shutting down, the authorities said they have grand plans to have a state-of-the-art amusement park, etc., to be built here. But yesterday I read an article that said that it's now going on tender and they have very strict conditions and they are confident somebody will come up with some brilliant ideas, which means they've taken something that's been existing for 75 years, built up, it's an icon of Durban. I live right here at Fun World, and the photographs that are published every morning virtually incorporate the paddling pools and Fun World. It's such an attraction, and it's had so much of memories, as you said, for me as a youngster, for you as a youngster. I mean, it's been existing for 75 years, so it's really a heritage of South Africa. And now they say the lease is expired. He was on a monthly, he was put on a monthly tenancy, I think, for the last 5 or 10 years, and suddenly they've abruptly terminated the lease. But it seems like they don't have anything concrete to go forward. So why take something that is working so well and shut it down? And then they say, oh no, it's going to be much better. But it's like they're groping in the dark and looking for something, and we don't know what's going to come of it. I just hope that they're able to put something together that can be better than what exists, but why take something that's working and shut it down? It just baffled me, Shafat.
You know, you make a valid point there indeed, Adam. And also, you looked at Point Road. You remember Point Road, now they call it a very flavory name, a very plush name. They call it the Mahatma Gandhi Boulevard. Once upon a time, we had lovely buildings there. It was thriving. I mean, look at the Seafarers Club was there and so forth. They have turned into ghost buildings. They have turned into like haunted buildings. And you drive down that area, and you remember they said, oh, the Malaysians are coming to invest here. They turn it into a world-class place where you'll be having top business being done, but they let it run down to wreck and ruins. And this is exactly, I'm afraid, may happen at Fun World 75 years later, an end of an era.
Yes, Shafat, I have fond memories of the Dotem cars in Fun World and the air hockey that we used to play, the arcade games. Really brings back lots of memories, and it's really sad to see it just evaporate into thin air, Shafat. And I just hope that leadership has some little bit of insight to look after better things that are working and focus on things that are already broken and fix those, Shafat.
Adam, I see the tickle a lot of our listeners here this morning. This one, he says, it's from Fazlul. He says, Assalamu alaikum. I'm enjoying the program. And may I tell you, Adam Kamda, the guys in the permit office are selective in issuing of permits. It's the highest bidder who gets it very quickly. Sometimes when you're standing there, you'll notice someone gets the permit, but 99% don't get the permit. Why is that so, Adam? Adam, how you respond?
Yes, Shafat, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I'm totally opposed to bribery and corruption and to pay an official to get your way. As far as I know, these permits are supposed to be absolutely free. It's just a matter of them restricting. I think they used to issue like 80 permits on a week, so you'd have to go there on Friday morning or a Saturday morning, and once those 80 have been issued, there's no more. But at the moment, from what I hear, none are being issued whatsoever. So you're quite right. It is possible that people may be paying money over to say, you know, give me the permit, but as far as I know, that is totally illegal and totally frowned upon, Shafat.
Well, people, I can tell you, I can vouch for it. Adam is squeaky clean. And Allah bless you for that, Adam. Allah bless you. And this messenger says, Adam Kamda, for those who toy-toyed for the permits, we salute them. Who are these guys that were toy-toying? They're learning well from the majority of South Africans. Who's, who's? Adam, your response there?
Yes, but is a group from the Mierbank area, near where Hashim lived. It's it's an environmental action group that has been lobbying for cleaner environment for the Meerbank residents. And they're also behind a movement of subsistence fishermen. So they've been fighting for the rights of subsistence fishermen who will be able to catch fish and they'll be allowed to sell their catch so they can cover their costs at home or even cover their running costs when they do fish. As you know, a recreational fishing permit does not allow you to catch fish and sell. You can only catch this little and consume. So this is a group, I think, that had put pressure on Transnet to come up with the scheme of issuing the permit. But it seems like it's not really being run perfectly. Obviously, with any scheme, there will be rules and you would come across problems. But personally, I feel if you have purchased a fishing license, you should be allowed to fish in certain designated areas in the port, whether you have a transit permit or not, Shabbat.
Well, I agree, Vladimir. Chacha says, Adam Kamda, tell them, you fishermen, they are not feeling half the pain of what we older fishermen have. We already suffered. New fishermen shouldn't be complaining. Adam, how do you respond to Chacha?
I'm not sure what he's implying. I don't know if he's talking about the advance of fishing tackle that they've got easier now with graphite rods, etc., and they have to fish with bamboo poles and still catch huge fish. We do have immense respect for the anglers who fished with those long bamboo poles and wooden KP tails and landed huge, huge fish. But also remember, Shafat, fish were much more abundant in those days. Now you have to use so many more tricks with fish finders on your boats and forecasting atmospheric pressure and all the weather forecasts, etc., to try and go out and get fish. So, it is a lot more difficult now in terms of the abundance of fish, but they had it difficult with in terms of equipment that they used.
Adam, maybe I'm thinking the other direction. At the terminal, we had these guards that were very, very difficult on maybe normalized. They should sometimes strip search them and so forth. That's what I've heard. And maybe with the fishermen of yesteryear, when Chacha and them were fishing, and these water police of the parks, when they got there, and you know who were coming, they were the real burros, giving Chacha and them a rough time. Perhaps your thoughts,
Shepard, as a little youngster going into the harbour, we always had to go through a checkpoint at the entrance to the harbour, and I always found those officials to be absolutely polite. They'll ask you if there's anything to declare. I'm sure they meant whether they have any firearms or whatever. Sometimes they'd ask us to open the boot. They'll just check what's in the boot. They can see it's a picnic basket, some tackle box, and some rods. So they'll just wave us through. And even on the water in the harbour, have the water police who inspect boats to make sure that they have their COF and you have your fishing license. Sometimes they'll check whether you've caught over your bag limit or undersized fish. Then they are just doing their job, Shafat. As long as you're compliant, you have all your paperwork in order and you don't catch fish that you're not supposed to, then they are quite pleasant and polite. But the minute you are foul of the law, then you understand your ground and be arrogant to them, and then you run into problems, Shafat.
You make a very valid point in there that you tickle my mind there. I remember, when we asked to go to the harbour for dawa purposes, during the apartheid time. And generally, we sometimes used to make a big pot of akmi, and we have it in our microbus. And as we're going with all the literature, and the guys will stop us and say, "What you have there?" And when they had a sniff of that palau, they say, could I have some? I said, no, bring your container. And after that, whenever I came, they used to salute me all the time. Hey, what did you know? It's lekker daar. I said, yeah, samosa to me. And you know what? They don't like, they only want to chow. And I wonder how many of our Indians got promoted in the education of our department just with samosas. Samosas is a pig there. Your thoughts?
Yes, Shafat, the exchange of cuisine, I think, has always been an icebreaker. And I remember so fondly sitting at the wharf side, and then occasionally there'll be people on the ships who've been there for many months or been at sea for many months and coming to the harbour, longing for some human companionship, and they'd come down and chat to us. And we'd exchanged some of our food with them, Shafat, and they found our Indian food absolutely delicious. And they would offer us back whatever they had at hand. And I remember, they'd give us some chewing gum that we had never seen before, maybe it's from America, or they'd give us some fruit. And their fruit, Shafat, was first class. I remember once they gave us an apple. To us, it was like the size of a grapefruit. It was huge and sweet and perfect. You know, it was so perfect. It looked like a plastic apple that's just been made to be an ornament, but absolutely delicious. And these were the little interactions that we so fondly remember and enjoy those interactions. And as I said, exchange of cuisine, and especially, you know, giving some spicy food to a Westerner, and they really taste our curries for the first time, they'll be, you know, licking their lips, Shafat.
You know, a sad morning where we, alhamdulillah, we had the opportunity of making lots of du'a for our Marhala, you know, Jamal, the Hashim Jamal, Allah will discover with Noor, give sabr to his family members, and Adam, you know your recipe. What's your recipe this morning?
Yes, Shafat, I've got a very simple recipe. It's potato cigars. It's good for your health. It's not like a real cigar. It's just called a cigar because of the shape that it comes out at the end. So you start with a half a kilo of potatoes. You wash them, peel them, and then you cut them into quarters or eighths. Just make them into large blocks. Add this to a large pot of boiling water and add a teaspoon of salt. Boil this for about 10 minutes. Then you remove the foam from the top. You drain the potatoes. Add this to a large dish. Mash this with a potato masher. Then you add a few more ingredients. You add a teaspoon of salt, a teaspoon of pepper, 3 cloves of garlic crushed, and a bunch of dill chopped and a bunch of parsley chopped. Give this a good mix. Then you add 4 tablespoons of cornstarch. Mix that thoroughly. Then you roll this out into large cigars, and then you cut them into a finger size length. Take this and roll this onto breadcrumbs. And fry this in medium heat oil until golden brown. This makes an excellent side dish or just as a snack when you're having a braai shabat.
Absolutely. I'm going to enjoy that. Maybe with a chutney on the side, Adam?
Yes, you can have a spicy chutney, tomato sauce, you can have mayonnaise, you can even have tartar sauce shabat.
There's it there, people. Our Adam Kamda, very comprehensive indeed. Your parting words this morning?
Hey, Shafat, I'd like to dedicate the show to my dear cousin, Hashim Jamal. May Allah fill his qabr with noor. Allah grant him the highest stages of Jannat. And please, everyone, if you can, remember him in your du'as. Thanks for a lovely show, Shafat. Salams to you and the listeners.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our Adam Kamda. Yes, special du'as, Umar, for our close brother, Hashim Jamal. Yes, Adam says he dedicates the show to him. Time for us to go for our break. When we get back, we'll be joined by Councillor Amanda Parak.